Welcome to Houseplant Homebody. I'm your host, Holly, and I'm here to talk about all things plants. Are you ready? Hello. Welcome to the last episode in this season. I hope you guys enjoyed all these podcast episodes, and hopefully this gives you a good amount of resources before the next set of episodes are released in January. But I also wanted to put out there right away in the beginning of this episode that if you have a topic you want to hear, please let me know. I know for sure I will be doing another plant chit chat with someone, and I will be doing medium explained or soil explained. Those are the two episodes I know for sure that I'm doing, but if you have anything in particular you need to hear or want to hear, please tell me so that way I can get it on my list to start recording and doing the research for right away. Okay, hopefully you enjoy this episode. This is going to be all about the fall and winter houseplant prep, completely explained and what to consider. Usually, if you're not subscribed to the newsletter, then that would be a good thing to do because I usually release the newsletters in time to kind of explain this and remind you of what to do. But I wanted to throw this out there as a blog post just so you have something to reference in the future. That way you can kind of go back to it as a point of reference when you are bringing your plants in or shopping for plants or moving plants or whatnot. So let's talk about houseplant prep for fall and winter. So I would place money on the fact that some of you saw this title and kind of thought, well, we need to prep for fall and winter. Like, what do you mean? So it totally depends on the situation you're in. But most of the things I'm going to be talking about are beneficial in most situations, even if you are not moving plants around or going plant shopping or whatnot. So I'm breaking this into three different parts. So option 1, 2, and 3. 1 is bringing your plants indoors from being outdoors all summer long. We're going to go over what you should consider for that and why you should consider for those. The second one is what to do with plants that are indoors that will remain indoors. So the plants you keep indoors, you would think that's where you think I need to prep for that. What? I'm just reminding you what's going to be happening in fall and winter and what to think about. So that way you're not, you know, drowning your plants, for example. And the third one is things to think when purchasing houseplants in fall and winter. Seems super simple, but I just wanted to make sure recommendations were out there just in case you're curious if you're doing anything that you shouldn't or being extra precautious in this sense. So now I understand that there are a lot of people that listen to this podcast that are in warmer climates, so some of this doesn't apply to you, but hey, I'm in Wisconsin and I am speaking for the winter people that deal with winter and deal with cold out there, that have to transition for a season and can't keep their houseplants in the lovely outdoors all year round. So a lot of these recommendations could be used for yourself in different transitions or different uses. So keep listening because I guarantee there's something in here for you too. So let's jump into the first topic, which is bringing plants indoors from being outdoors all summer long. Okay, so bringing plants inside. There are 4 things you need to think about. That is temperature, lighting, humidity, and pests. And that's how I broke that down even more because you know how I love breaking it down more. So temperature is most of your houseplants need to be brought inside once temperatures drop before the temperatures drop below 60 degrees Fahrenheit consistently. This is because your plants will start to suffer, and most of your plants more than likely are tropical plants, so they can't withstand anything lower than that. Now, if you have something like a geranium, for example, that is an annual, that is a little bit more cold hardy. Obviously, you're not going to want to leave it outside, but you don't need to bring it in as soon as, like, you know, September 12th hits or whatever, you know? That one you could probably leave outdoors a little bit longer. But your normal tropical known houseplants, your pothos, philodendron, Fikes lyrata, those kinds of houseplants, bird of paradise, bring it in if it's getting close to 60 degrees Fahrenheit consistently. When you bring it in, make sure you are avoiding drafty windows and doors, and you're also avoiding vents or like heating vents or anything like that. The drafty windows and doors are going to cause your plant to be cold, obviously. Being in front of the window, being in front of the door, it's going to get harmed in that way. If it's in front of a heat vent, it's also going to do the same thing. You don't want heat directly blowing on the plant either. That's not good. So temperature is the first thing you want to consider. when you're moving it in, you want to move it in the right time, and then just avoid drafty windows, doors, and vents. The next thing is lighting. So lighting is super important because your plant has been outside this whole time. If you had it in direct sunlight, that plant is going to be wanting direct sunlight. The nice thing is the environment changes naturally. So it gets a little bit darker outside, a little bit less humid consistently. Your plant is probably already prepping for that because it already knows that that's going to start happening. But plants that were in full direct sunlight are going to still want bright light. So that might be something to consider when buying a grow light in that kind of situation. And I have a couple different examples to give you a better understanding of when you should and when you don't need to. So my first example is I have canna lilies outside. I love canna lilies. They're beautiful outdoor plants. They're really great patio plants. They like to go dormant in winter. They are in full bright sunlight all summer long. And then I bring them into the basement in winter. Since these actually don't need sunlight in the winter, nor do they actually need water at all because they go mostly dormant, that is a plant that even though it's in full sun, it doesn't need the full sun. It can just go right in the basement. I personally would probably provide a grow light because it's already going to be down there for other plants, which I'll explain in a second, and see if I can get it to not die all the way back because it can't keep a leaf or two up in winter. I did test it. This is another side note. I did test it last winter and I basically just decided to not water at all any of my canna lilies and they came back great this year. So I'm going to try to keep them up a little bit more so they're a lot bigger and fuller quicker. My second example is I have a pencil cactus and several asparagus ferns outside right now and they are in pretty much full sun. Yeah, I'd say full sun almost. And I am bringing them indoors. So in that case, I am also going to be moving them to the basement. The basement isn't super cold in our house. It's pretty consistent. It's not the same temperature, obviously, as upstairs, but it doesn't drop below 60, I'll put it that way. And I have a grow light that will go over all of those. So I want to be able to supplement enough light where it's still getting a lot of light. I'll put it on a timer in the basement where it will just be on for several hours, more hours than the normal light that is going to exist in nature because they do need higher light and they're used to higher light. So that is a situation where I'm going to do that. Another option would be, for example, if I had Brazil philodendron in shade outdoors. Those plants are super resilient. If I brought them in and I put them just in a window or near a grow light or just by themselves, they're going to be fine. So I don't need to be really worrying about the light too much. As long as I'm not putting it in low light, they should be fine too. So those are the examples I have. I just wanted to kind of lay that out of how to think about the light. It's totally based on the actual plant's needs and the environment you had it in. It's kind of the same thought process I was talking about at the end of the goldfish plant episode where I said, like, if your blooms are dropping, it's probably because it's just moving from such a ideal environment of a greenhouse to an indoor environment where it's not getting the same requirements. It's a kind of a similar perspective on that. So something to keep in mind, if you have a question, feel free to reach out. If you're saying, hey, I have this plant, it was outside all summer long, what would you recommend I do with it? Grow light, no grow light, humidity, no humidity, that kind of thing. So, which brings me to my next topic of the four, is humidity. This is also important because at least around here in the summers in Wisconsin, it tends to be pretty humid. So naturally, it gives the plant more humidity outside and it's increased besides indoors. And then in winter, it gets even more dry. So humidity is important. So my one really good example is if I had a bird of paradise outside all summer long during the summer and bring it indoors, I would put it under a grow light and near a humidifier because that is one plant that actually really needs those two things to really thrive, even if they're indoors. So they were getting all summer long. They're definitely going to need it when they move indoors. So in that case, humidity would be a requirement for that plant. Same thing. If pencil cactus, it was in sun all year round and it was in the humid environment, but pencil cactus in general, a little bit more of an arid plant, so that doesn't need an increased humidifier. So if I put it in the basement, as long as I'm giving it enough light, it'll be fine. Same with asparagus fern. They don't need extra humidity to really thrive. So even though it was outside in high humidity, it doesn't need it. But bird of paradise that usually is and needs high humidity, I'm going to be providing a little bit more humidity when it's brought inside from outdoors. And the last thing to think about is pests. So when you're bringing your plants indoors, there's always a chance that you're bringing something in. You never know what it is. So in my case, I would typically recommend hosing down your plant if you have that option, or putting them in the shower, whatever you have, and just really rinsing off the leaves ahead of time, kind of like kicking off anything that was there. And then I would spray down with insecticidal soap or a neem oil mixture. So for neem oil mixture, I didn't write this on the blog post, but I typically use like Dawn soap, neem oil, and water as a mixture. Kind of dilute everything to spray that. Either way, it's going to help get rid of anything that could have been on the foliage that you don't want there. This will help get rid of everything. And if you really want to make sure you get everything off, you can repeat that process a couple times before you have to move in the plant. And then if you really want to make sure you're in good terms with your plant, your soil, and everything, there is a Bonide systemic houseplant insectral that you could get. It's almost like, not a powder, but almost like a granular that you put at the base of the plant. And then when you water it, the roots soak it up into the foliage, and that helps prevent insects as well. So that would be my recommendation if you're moving plants indoors, what to consider: temperature, lighting, humidity, and pests. All right, let's move on to what do you do with your indoor houseplants if they're staying indoors for fall and winter. So this seems like a pretty obvious topic, I'm guessing you're thinking. You're like, yeah, Holly, I know what to do with my houseplants when I leave them indoors. Thank you. So obvious. I know. But there are some people that don't. So that is why I'm here and I'm explaining. And I might be over-explaining to some of you. And that's okay. Everyone learns something new every time. As I'm going through this, I think of something different every time I'm going back through it. So there are multiple points that I would like to point out. So in the fall and winter, you're going to have a decrease in light and a drop in humidity, as I discussed in the last section. Most of your houseplants are going to start growing slower or stopping blooming or all that good stuff in the fall and winter anyways. So I've started to notice this really at the end of October. I've seen it slow down, and then I kind of see it pick back up end of February, beginning of March. And that is when I start to realize I need to start changing care a little bit if needed. So I typically will keep my grow lights on long after it gets dark outside. And that just provides extra light for the plants that really need bright indirect or direct sunlight. So I have a plant shelf with plants that love direct sunlight. So like cacti and stuff like that. Some philodendron types like my pink princess or my white knight or my philodendron tortum. Those are under my grow lights consistently, and I will leave them on for like 14 hours. I do that now, but I also do that in winter. If you don't do that already in winter and you only put them in front of a window, that might be something to consider if you have a plant that has higher needs with light specifically. Another thing is in winter, the humidity is down by a lot. So I also have a humidifier going in the summer. I don't consistently run it, but in the winter, I try to run it a lot more simply because there are plants that need it a lot more and they suffer without humidity. So I would also recommend grabbing a humidifier and setting it up a room, and that will help some of your plants as well. The plants that need higher humidity, the highest humidity, surround them around the humidifier. And then more than likely the plants that need a humidifier, some of them also like a decent more light. Obviously, ferns are that kind of one exception where they don't necessarily need as much light, but high humidity is always good. Another thing to consider is since the plant is not using as much energy, you need to cut back on watering and fertilizing. So since the plants are active in winter, they don't use as much energy, therefore they don't use as much moisture, nor do they need to take up as much fertilizer. So I only fertilize probably about 2 more times in winter. Really, beginning of December and January is estimated about when I fertilize again. And that's a little different because normally I fertilize about every 2 weeks in peak season, depending on when I water things. Sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little bit less, depending on the plant as well. But I cut back on watering and I cut back on fertilizing because they're not taking it up. You also want to make sure you're not putting it in front of a vent, drafty door, or window, because that sudden temperature change can hit incorrectly and harm them. So I know I mentioned that earlier, but that's another thing to think about. And then the last thing is for the plants that go dormant, You don't need to keep watering them or place them in bright light. I use canna lily's example, but another example is oxalis. They die all the way back, or they can die all the way back. So if you don't want to water them or you don't want to worry about them, you can just place them in a cool, dark environment. Bring them back out probably late February, early March, and start watering them again. And then you'll have consistent blooms. I've done this with my oxalis multiple times and my canna lilies multiple times, and they have done great. Canna lilies, I will say, when I keep them up with a little bit of foliage in winter, they do better coming back. Oxalis dies all the way back no matter what I do. So oxalis is going to die back and then it'll pop right back up. So that is what to consider with your indoor plants being indoors. I know that was a lot of information. It's pretty consistent with probably what you do for regular household maintenance, but it's really the light, the humidity, and cutting back on things that's really important when thinking about your plants in fall and winter. So let's move on to things to consider when buying houseplants in fall and winter. Okay, when you are buying houseplants in fall and winter, there are some things that you should really be considering. One of the things is wrapping up houseplants. So even moving from a houseplant shop to your car or walking out to your car could actually be very damaging to your houseplant. Think about it. If you're in 20 degree weather and you're out there for more than 5 minutes, that could be really damaging, especially to plants like Diefenbachia, for example. Diefenbachia hate the cold so much. You can see visible problems with the plant almost immediately after you put it in a cold environment. So you don't want to take that risk with any of your houseplants just because it's not going to look pretty. Not to say that it can't survive that and bounce back from that, because my Diefenbachia did, but you don't want that. And if you can avoid that, you should. So make sure your plants are wrapped. More than likely, most garden centers do have the capacity and the ability to wrap the plants, and they already are preparing to do that anyways. So if they don't, make sure you have a bag that closes all the way, or maybe they have tissue paper or something that you can wrap around the plant. That would be good for it. Another one that I thought was obvious, but maybe isn't so obvious, is don't leave your houseplant in your car. So if you leave your houseplant in your car exposed to the cold, you have the potential to just let it die or have extreme harm to the plant in general. So in the winter, when it is super cold, most houseplants can't tolerate anything under consistent 60 degrees. If it drops below that and you wouldn't leave that houseplant on your patio, don't leave it in your car. Just because your car was warmer at one point doesn't mean it's going to stay warm the whole time. So just don't leave your houseplants in your car. Now, I say that, but then I've broken that rule before with an exception. So if you do lots of shopping and you plan on going to one houseplant shop, make sure that houseplant shop is your last stop. If you're like me and you like to houseplant shop hop, then you're going to be shopping multiple places, probably buying multiple plants at multiple different places. You're going to be, no matter what, the houseplant's going to be in your car. So there's a couple things I've done is I always make sure my stops are short, so the car isn't exposed to cold for too long. And then I also wrap all of my plants in blankets. I bring blankets all the time, especially in winter, because if I find a houseplant I want, I'm going to wrap it up. I also have one of those, I don't know what they're called, like cooler bags from the store where like it keeps food cold or food hot. One of those bags. Put your houseplants in there. That will help keep the cold out, is mostly what you're trying to do. There's some extreme levels you could obviously take, like, you know, bringing some kind of hot water or heat something up and put it in a bin with it or something. I don't know. That's not going to be as effective. But really just keeping your visits to houseplant shops very short is really important. And then wrapping up your plants if you are doing what I'm doing. Now, if you're like me and you kind of have knowledge of plants that are pretty hardy to the point where they'll come back if anything happens, then that's what I'm typically buying. I'm not going to be buying 10 Diefenbachias hoping they'll be okay in the back of my car because I know they won't be, that kind of thing. So I would maybe not follow what I do, but if you want to do what I do and you want a houseplant shop hop and you're not just going to one place, then that's what I would recommend, is lots of blankets and then try to keep your plants warm however you can. Okay, and then the last thing to consider is I know a lot of people like to isolate their houseplants before they bring them in when they're buying new houseplants. Some people like to leave them outside, hose them down, all that good stuff, similar to my recommendation earlier. Well, when it's cold outside, you can't leave them outside. So what do? I would recommend putting them in your shower and showering them that way. That way they can isolate in there. You could rinse off whatever's there and then spray it immediately with insecticidal soap or neem oil mixture or something. And then use your insect control systemic stuff from Bonide that I recommend. Simply, that's going to help prevent anything. And then it's going to kick off anything that might have been on there by using the insecticidal soap and rinsing it off. So you might not be able to isolate as much. Like for me, I have something in front of almost every window, so it's hard for me to isolate plants. So I don't always isolate plants. I don't find it necessary all the time. But if you do want to make sure there's nothing on the plants, I would recommend putting it in the shower and showering it off and then spraying it with insecticidal soap or neem oil mixture or something. And that will be good. Okay, that is this episode of the fall and winter houseplant prep. I just wanted to outline that because I've posted about it, I've talked about it, I've done it in newsletters, but I've never addressed it in podcast form, blog form, somewhere where you can reference it in the future. So I definitely want to put this out there because it is so important, especially in Wisconsin and places where it's cold. You want to make sure you're doing what you can and thinking about what you need to. So I did put some extra resources at the end of the blog post. I did put the Light Explained Grow Lights and Pests and Plants podcast episodes and blogs down there for quick reference. I also linked all of the holiday plant podcasts that I've done. So obviously, we're talking about fall and winter. We're talking about fall annuals. I have a blog and a podcast about that. Super fun. Lots of good ideas in there. I also have the four holiday-themed plants that come up consistently. Holiday cactus, poinsettia, Norfolk pine, and amaryllis. I have information on all of those in blog post and podcast form linked to the episode. Or I'm sorry, linked to this blog post if you need it. So hopefully this episode is very helpful. If you are not subscribed to the newsletter, I would do so right away. That way you are getting this information fed to you again and getting even more information. But hope you enjoyed this last podcast episode of the season. Thanks. Hello. I just wanted to come back on here since this was the last episode of the season and kind of reiterate what I said on the first episode of the season. Kind of about timing and schedule and whatnot. So obviously we released 6 episodes this time around. It will be 5 episodes released quarterly. So it will be released January, April, July, and October, which is very exciting. I do have Medium explained and I plan on doing another plant chit chat. Person is TBD right now. But if you have any questions about the Medium explained already, please shoot me a message and just let me know like, hey, I know Medium explained is coming up. Can you tell me this topic, whatnot? And then keep in mind the newsletter is also coming out quarterly, so it is going to be on a schedule of February, May, August, November. The August issue did not come out because of the home stuff and I was busy with work and home and whatnot, so I'm going to be releasing it in October and it's a little late, but I'm still going to be releasing the November guide as well. So the October one is going to highlight all the updates, the podcast episodes that came up, all that good stuff, fall prep. I'm going to go into that in slight more detail, linking the blog post and every other source that I've had in the past. And then November will be more of the plant gift guide, winter prep, all that good stuff. So you don't want to miss that. And then if you have comments or questions about any of the episode topics, or you have any input about future topics, please let me know. I can see the blog post comments and the social media comments, so please submit them there or feel free to private message me too. And then I do Q&A pretty consistently on social media. So I do an Ask Me Anything. That would be also a great place to ask me any questions as well. Knowing that the Medium Explained episode is coming up, if you have any requests, please let me know what kind of episode you would like to see. I will probably put a question box up on social media after this podcast episode is released to see if any of you have any future recommendations for episodes. Other than that, thank you guys for waiting for this season, and I'm excited to bring you the next one, and I will see you on Facebook and Instagram and everywhere pretty consistently now. I hope you guys have a lovely day, lovely week, great holiday, because you probably won't hear from me over podcasts until January. So I'll talk to you later. Bye.